Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Call her back.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for supporting some live comedy here. Excited.
Welcome to another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary. Do a roll call. Devin Murphy.
What's going on?
Anthony Garino.
I'm in the back.
Natalia Berlin.
Hi.
What's up? So, we're on our way to fucking Las Vegas right now. Highway Diary is back on the highway once again. We've gone to Santa Barbara. Garino, you've had like a whirlwind trip since you've been here, yeah?
It's important for me to sample from the buffet, the West Coast, in a manner that is both slobacious and forbiddenal.
Now, you've used a little bit of exotic vocabulary there. Is that something that you picked up on the West Coast?
I've had a lot of time to Google. I've been on a lot of into synonyms, really. Right now, I've described my behavior as synonymous.
Wow.
Yeah.
So synonymous?
I know all the words that I know, I know other words for them now.
Great.
I'm painting on a broader palette.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a lawnmower man now.
You've gotten to the level where you can, eliminate from your similes, like or as, and they still function. They're with and to for.
Like so many rats fleeing from a sinking ship, I am capable and able of executing high concept sentences with minimal structural limitations.
Now, Greeno, is it true that you were altered by the U.S. government?
Yes.
So we're on our way to Vegas. Kind of an impromptu thing. Who's gambling? I'm definitely gambling. I'm learning some craps. That's what I want
to
do.
I'm going to learn to gamble.
Nice. And what other games are people like, oh, that's my game when I get there?
I'm not a huge gambler. I like to enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You soak up the vibe.
Yeah, because it's just such a classy place to hang out.
Of course. Yeah. Do you think we'll
experiment with slots? Definitely.
Yeah, I plan to lose a good $20.
I think
I'm not a high roller right now.
I'm greatly.
But you just got
$250,000 tonight.
There you go.
I'll buy you a boat, even.
I think we have a great bet. I'm starting out with $200. Matt's throwing in.
$35, $40, $50.
And I think we both agreed that if we leave with. Our target range is to leave up somewhere between $35,000 and $250,000.
Yeah.
Anything not in that range will be a failure.
Yeah. So I think, like, you just gotta, then it's like, you gotta go all in every time, because otherwise that, to make $235, $250.
There's gonna be so many instances where I say all in, and then like a red-faced Asian man like scoffs,
the evening's gonna be full of oh win, and then you're gonna roll it, and he's gonna be like, oh God, I'm gonna lose my job. You're gonna take all my money. We went to Santa Barbara. Unfortunately, that podcast didn't, record. But we were talking. We were basically giving you an audio documentary about how the Japanese yen is based on dirty underwear. Because there's vending machines in Japan that have, ladies' underwear in it that you can buy. Like, there's such a high demand for that particular fetish that, in their vault, in the Bank of Japan vault, like, what base is the currency on? Bricks of shrink-wrapped panties.
So, if you're in Japan, I can use my underwear as currency.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
That's like gold. Yeah, that's like the direct source of the cash. Yeah.
You're a rich woman there. I found so much yen in my apartment because my roommate, Sean, is always in Japan.
Mm-hmm. So you jacked his cash?
Yeah, I don't want to say that's not okay, but I have some yen right now, and I...
How much of his money did you take?
I don't know. I'll give it back to him. He leaves it everywhere. It's by the fridge, it's under the fridge, it's in the kitchen, it's falling everywhere all the time. He goes to Japan and
do you have
yen.
It with you right now? Because Vegas is the place to change yen into dollars.
Exactly.
If there ever was a place.
And if you don't meet your goal of $35,000, really? You've lost. So you need the yen, you know?
You're going to need that yen.
I'm
We're
sorry.
We're going to go.
I don't have the yen, but I do have a lot of ladies' underwear.
There you go.
Ah.
like underwear on the craps table. There's like chilling in it.
Just convert your underwear to yen and the yen to dollars, and then we'll go back, you know, to the casino.
I feel
like,
rich.
When you're down like 3,000, you're like opening up like packs of like panties.
Yeah, you just put dirty panties on the 35 on the roulette table. They're like, willing to exchange this. And the red-faced Japanese guy's like, oh.
Little red-faced guy's very red-faced at this point.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, rules of huffing the underwear inside or outside, because you can get, like, secondhand panty huff, you know, and that could, you could get throat cancer from that. So there's, like, packs of them, too, like of a dozen, you know. People go through them a lot. There's They are addicted chemically.
This time Michael Douglas got nose cancer.
Yeah, I think so.
But, like, what happens after the underwear? I mean, once they do the exchange, they don't keep using this underwear to buy things. Do they press it and make it into yen, perhaps?
Do they, what? The I see, the used underwear.
Yeah, but they
after
only press
it's been used by lady.
High bills. Like, really high marked bills. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, not just like, you don't use paper for high bills.
They just use a hole punch, and it's like a fabric coin that's worth a lot of cash.
It's like that, you know, we have like a Federal Reserve and a Fort Knox, and it has a lot of gold. It's like that.
Allegedly.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
so
it's better secured.
In terms of cotton versus satin versus silk versus like lace, where would that go? Because I'm just thinking about what I've brought, and I want to know how much that could be worth possibly.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, there's a lot of forgeries out there because the photograph of the lady that they staple to the front of the underwear saying, this is this lady's underwear, you know, it not always is. You know, like, it could just be a pregnant smoking lady who's lactating and is on the phone with, you know, trying to get alimony. Like, what is up, Roger? I'm working right now. Wow. You know, could be that lady. You don't know who you're getting.
That's too risky.
I'm on the clock wearing underwear.
Yeah. But it's also like, now this might be controversial, but I think that, you know, if you have an orphanage and there's a certain underground market for the underwear, you know, you can take that creep dollar and turn it into books. You can turn it into desks. You can turn it into
opportunities,
lunches and stuff. Who cares where the... What's the big deal? It's fabric. You're not making pedophiles. You're making cash off of pedophiles, all right? Sell the kids' underwear in the orphanages. Who care? What do they care?
When I came here, these kids didn't have books. These kids didn't have desks. And sure, my methods are questionable.
Sure.
They are.
Of course they are.
This is him delivering like this dramatic like monologue to like the Board of Education. Sure, my methods are questionable. Sure they are.
But I'm but I've raised a lot of cash and I've spent a lot of cash on their underwear. Can I take back that last statement? But yeah, I got myself through school by, you know, shrink wrapping kilos of my underwear to the and sending it to the Catholic Church, you know, that's how I spent. So I got paid. I think that program is still going, it's just a little more underground now. That's, look up the Da Vinci Code if you want to know how, you know, the secret pathways to sell your underwear. You got to look at, like, some art in a museum and go, oh, I know, that art piece, look at the way there's a V in that painting, you know?
That's the Desks for Dicks program.
Yeah. Speaking of dicks, you know, you don't know who you're going to meet in Vegas, so I had a little time today. I gave myself a little shave down, you know? It looks proud right now. I'm almost ready for, like, a dick diorama, you know, if I were to take one.
It looks proud in that, like, it's, like, standing out there, or, like, that it's, like, trim and proper proud. You know what I mean? Like, is it holding it back, or is it just, like...
Well, I think in being well-groomed, it looks bigger.
Yeah.
Does it have, like, a white t-shirt on and a pack of cigarettes rolled up in its sleeve? Another jacket on, or is it wearing, like, a...
Well, is it, like, a James Dean kind of dick?
Yeah, it's got, like, a three-piece suit and, like, a little mustache.
Remember our trip to Santa Barbara? We went to a a lot of wine tasting. And you were cracking me up right now. You kept saying, after we left all the places, you were like, oh, what's the address here, you know, for correspondence? For correspondence, I just want the address here. Like, you're just desperate to be a pen pal with me.
That's cool, because I just got a bunch of monogram stationery. It's a shame to let it, it's a shame to let it go to waste.
Yeah. No, just for correspondence, though. You guys were just in Santa Barbara, wine tasting.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it so much, I went back.
Yeah.
I drank a lot of wine. Drank a lot of wine. A couple of times.
A couple of times.
Did you go, yeah, I had whites and reds even. Did you have, you know, a hike or anything like that? Or?
No.
Just a lot of wine.
Just the booze.
No, we didn't have to. We almost went to the beach, but then we decided to eat at two Mexican places in a row.
Yeah. That was a great idea.
You guys have just been on a solid taco diet since you've been in town.
I feel like
very strict. Lots of restrictions. Taco only. Lots of hot sauce. Yeah. Extra hot sauce.
I feel like this kind of like obligational. I'm here to just like get the most of Mexican food. So like it's almost like a chore now. Like I feel like they a non-Mexican based thing. I feel like
it wasn't easy. I feel like it's like almost a religious thing. It's very specific.
Yeah.
I started to worship it a little bit.
Yeah, you're going through the magical rite of Verde sauce in Los Angeles right now. And, you know, it's very... That's what you should do. When you're in the town, like, when I'm in New York, I like the pizza. I like the Chinese. When you're here, just have a Mexican hiatus.
I just get the image in my head of someone being baptized in, like, salsa verde.
So, on your quinceañera.
Caliente picante.
Yeah, you guys are really going in. So, do you have any strategies for, you know, how to quadruple your money? Or what's
I'm going to say a lot of prayers. I'm going to get that slot machine.
Are there going to be a lot of prayers to one god or multiple prayers to different gods?
All my prayers to the taco god.
Taco god.
Done well for me. I'm going to pray on those cherries to line up three in a row. $250,000 richer. I'm going to buy a boat full of tacos. You guys can come.
Yeah, that's a good investment. You know, you put down, if you build a boat of tacos, you know, they will come and just more cash will happen. Then you just put slot machines on that boat of tacos and then people won't leave.
They'll it's
just,
all for the religion, you know, better purpose.
That's like a shrine.
I could get personal things that were, you know, I could go shopping, I could buy some shoes, but
And why do all churches need to be, like, in the ground? Why can't they be in the water, sailing around slot machines and tacos?
Church boats. Exactly.
Different religions.
I just got this sick idea in my head and, like... It's pretty fucking, like, sick.
It's raw?
It's like, what if somebody had a three-piece suit, right, that was made of corn hard tortillas? That'd be so sick.
A suit?
Like a tie?
Is that what the priest would wear?
Like, so sick.
On the boat? Like the captain of the boat?
It's great. It's dangerous.
The priest on the boat?
The captain. One crack and he's naked. I mean, it's really bad.
It's gonna be, like, super gentle, but it's like an ancient art.
But what if it goes stale, though? It's not gonna break. It'll just be kind of chewy and, like, bendy.
It's hard?
Yeah, no. It's a hard taco.
It's a hard taco.
It's not like it doesn't change.
If it breaks,
it's gonna get stale.
You need, like, a new one every day.
Wait, like, let's say even if you're just, like, really careful about it and you don't break it, it's gonna get stale. Like, the best thing you can happen is you have a stale suit. And then, like, people are gonna be really excited that you have a taco suit. But then they're gonna think, well, that's not really that cool now that I think about it.
You don't
stale.
Smell that good. I'm not all appetized by it as I was the first time I saw you.
Yeah, like, it was really cool and novel at first, but now you're just kind of that guy.
That's
it's like, I wonder why you keep doing it. Like,
know,
why are you
I'm
still
sorry,
wearing
but
that
you know
suit?
What? That's life. You know, you start out young and beautiful, then you get a little old and stale. It just happens.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Got into semantic arguments about the pros and cons of edible suits. too many fucking times to sit on my laurels on this one, okay? It just works.
So I saw this movie called Big Miracle, and it's about, Drew Barrymore is like all worried about the whales because of global warming, they get trapped under ice and they can't breathe. So then they take a bunch of helicopters and an oil liner and they're like breaking the ice to make a path for them. And it's just, okay, in my opinion, if a whale gets trapped, yeah, it's sad, but should you be burning like 700,000 barrels of like fucking oil you know, to like take a tanker over there and like, and two helicopters. They're like, oh, because of global warming, they can't get around. So let's just burn a bunch of gas and save four whales. That's the problem, you know?
Because it depends on how delicious you think the whale in question would be. Is it like one of those things where it's like, I can't believe this is that good?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, I've had better whale?
I mean, why don't they just chop, like take those whales that are going to die anyway because they're drowning, put them on the boat, chop them up, make some tacos, make a religious boat religion.
Once global warming, like,
that's a good idea.
You know?
We could have one of these boat religion taco places in, like, every part of the world.
Made of blubber.
Places, cold places, blubbery places, Canada. Yeah,
you just need water.
You just need water. You just need a boat.
You could even just do it in a lake.
You
start
a
franchise.
You could do it in your bathtub.
Once global warming like starts happening the right way, though, like the water, they'll cook themselves in the ocean. You don't have to even like get a big party involved. It'll just be huge. The seafood will just be like shrimp cocktail, like floating in. It's like fried baskets of shrimp just floating down rivers. It's delicious.
Yeah.
It'd be horrible for restaurants. It'd be great for hungry people. No one's poor.
Yeah, and that's what they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that the, you know, who's against fucking global warming is bubblegum shrimp, because they know that, you know, they're no one's going to go to their fucking restaurant if baskets of fried shrimp are going around.
More delicious by the day, and they're hiding it from us.
Too many people are afraid of global warming.
I'm angry.
I like it when New York is, like, hot all the time, but, like, global warming has made New York, like, a crazy, like, explosion of weather, either.
Yeah, Bloomberg just unveiled, like, an $8 billion plan or whatever to rebuild the waterfront. It's crazy, like, to rebuild it, like, storm-proof, like, you know, like, we can't, like, Hurricane Sandy is not going to happen again, but something like it probably will, so, like, let's be prepared. It's, like, crazy, it's all in the seaport, like, they're going to rebuild the whole side.
Yeah.
Like a damn thing.
Like, just, like, with breakers and stuff, I don't know, it's, like, some sort of thing that's, like, against, I don't know. I don't live in New York anymore, man, you're supposed to know this, not me.
I don't know. I don't keep up with the flood walls there.
It's trending right now, man.
I'm a Rangers fan. I'm following. Here's Sound Street Seaport. Seawalls. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, you also, Anthony, you invented an idea for like a toilet, right? And, you know, everyone is having you sit down when you're on a toilet, but what's your idea?
It's a toilet couch that you can, that is form-fitting, and you lay down and it kind of hugs your body like you're kind of like Greco-Roman modeling, and your anus just kind of rests up against kind of a curvature, so it's kind of, you can take shit naps.
That sounds like something ladies wouldn't like very much, I think.
What?
It's gross.
All right, well, let's do a little market research. Why isn't it? Maybe we can fix this problem.
Why?
Yeah, why do you think it's gross?
It's dirty. It's in the middle of public spaces. That's some privacy, you know?
It's at your home, but it's going to be in the living room, right?
It's dolls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going to be taking a nap, you're probably going to be...
No, I think if you're a person who's baller enough that you're buying a reclining toilet, then you should just, like, be the type of person who has a TV in front of it, or, you know...
I got it.
And a mini fridge next door.
I got it. So everybody, you know, like, whenever you see in movies, if someone kills another person,
yeah,
and it's like, you know, it's supposed to be a climactic moment, something like that, and they're always, you know, killing them, like, maybe, you know, suffocating them with a pillow or something,
uh-huh,
or strangling them,
yeah,
and they say, go to sleep, they go, shh, shh, be quiet, and it, like, happens in all movies, like, you can think of many different genre movies where someone gets strangled, like, that has to happen. But
it's gotta be quiet. So they kind of peacefully.
And it always happens.
Yeah, if you die like that, think about where you're going.
Yeah, you're going to a nicer place. For being strangled, you know, that's a terrible way to go, but going out like that, at least you're calm, you know, you're like, I guess this guy's alright.
Yeah.
The person you kill is like, he's been really overworked lately, they're like, this is actually the best.
I just really needed some rest.
Just chill out, die. Yeah.
So, you know, that happens all the time. They're always, shh, be quiet, be quiet, go to sleep. So I thought it'd be greater if, you know, if I were to kill someone, and I'm not saying I'm going to kill someone, but like, in, you know, in the instance, hypothetically,
right.
if you were strangling someone, rather than just quieting them down, you just scream at them, you know, and just get louder and louder as they die.
Yeah.
It has to be the most terrifying thing in the world.
You'd have to be really angry.
It's like the most agonizing way to die, I had to imagine.
You just don't, yeah.
It gets worse and worse as you're getting closer and closer to death. It's like Edgar Allan Poe shit, man. Like, you're fucking agonizing.
Poetry,
yeah.
There is no good. Life is cast.
Yeah.
Ah,
life means nothing.
And you go out like that.
Yes,
if you really hate
chaos,
the person.
Chaos.
But if you're trying to, if you really hate the person and you're getting revenge with this killing, you know, like let them go out crazy.
Yeah. Like, you know, they'll see, like, whoa, everything will flash back. Like, all the times you spent together.
Yeah.
And they'll see how it all led to this.
How it led to chaos.
Like, it is that, like, they're gonna die. Like, they're not getting out of this.
Yeah.
Like, my voice just cracked. That's how intense this is. They're not getting out of this.
You're tearing up.
Yeah. I'm crying.
I'm
crying.
It really is a big deal.
They just, like, whisper, like, petty insults. Like, your hair always looks stupid.
They just go out with that.
You never threw in taxi tape. Everyone knew that.
I got a new job. I haven't talked about this on the podcast yet. Going to be a assistant story producer for a show called Nashville Confidential.
Woo!
And so I realized, I sent an email to HR today, like, hey, do I get paid from my sick days and my vacation days? And they said, your vacation days. And then I realized I had a week of sick days, and I said, oh, I feel sick now. And then I left, and then I just slept all day to, you know, get
to gear
ready
for Vegas
for this drive and staying up and gambling, you know. Last night, we did a pretty crazy thing, too. That's why I was fucking tired. What were we doing last night, Greeno?
We went to an underground Cuban speakeasy featuring burlesque dancers, pig races.
Cars.
Donkey shows. Pancake griddle expos.
There was one guy who wore a pancake suit. He was, like, the religion of that Cuban speakeasy, you know? He was the priest.
It's almost a taco.
I think they were McGriddles, actually. I think they're McGriddles. There's a McGriddles.
Oh, okay.
They said a guy,
that's actually really interesting. Yeah.
They set a guy. They're burlesque dancing and live music. And we're like, this place is insane. And then they set a guy on fire. We're like, this is getting even crazier. Then they drew and quartered the burlesque dancer, and they forced the flaming guy to hug her until
And then they set a panther in there too. Yeah. And it was like, who's gonna get out alive?
They made a panther self cannibalize itself. Well, they held its pups at gunpoint.
Yeah. And it was weird because there was no cover charge at the door. And it's like, wow, there's a lot of deaths we saw tonight for no cover charge.
There's no cover charge, but there's a really long lineup.
There was a ski.
Great reviews on Yelp. Great.
There was ski.
Inside, yeah.
The ski.
Make your own pizza.
Can I just ask a taco question, though?
Yeah.
You know when you were talking about the pancake soup suit a minute ago?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about the taco soup. And if, like, off the topics of suits and onto the topics of tacos, if you were to have, like, a sweet tortilla, like a pancake, wouldn't that be kind of an interesting taco idea if you were to put something fantastic in there?
Like a pancake as a shell?
Like, not like a fluffy pancake, kind of more of like a Mexican-style flatter
And
pancake.
It would be kind of like a gyro.
Right.
Instead
of... Yeah, and crepes, that's getting into crepe territory, too. Because you can put anything in a crepe. Turkey or applesauce or anything. And
it's
spicy.
Yeah.
Versatile ohydrates. You guys were both filming a short sci-fi film called Flesh Computer. When's that coming out? What's going on there?
I think he's going to be done with it by the end of August.
Uh-huh.
It's about a computer that's like a person. It's made of flesh. Flesh computer.
It's a dystopic future. Yeah, and you play the bad guy, yeah?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I get to have a fake gun. Then I hit myself in the eye with the first day of shooting. Gave myself a cut. Come on!
Do you think
that was the day that the car fought back? They forklifted in like an old beat up car.
Yeah.
And they dropped it in the middle of this parking lot, like this old dirt parking lot. And then they went to town on it with sledgehammers. And we had to shoot our scene where we were on it. And I was just like drinking a fake beer. And he was shooting a fake gun. And like he hit himself in the eye leaning on it. And I got cut open by the glass that they had just smashed with the sledgehammers. And so I bled all over the car.
Oh,
they're like, they were losing sunlight. So they're like, we gotta keep rolling. So I'm bleeding from the arm, like everywhere, all over the costume. Anthony's bleeding from the eye. We're just trying to line up the shot before it happens. It was the car that fought back.
That's unbelievable. That's yeah. Do you think they caught the shot where you cut yourself, you know what I mean, then just use that so then when you look like your face is cut up later on, it'll all match continuity-wise?
Well, it was the first shot that I did that, so it was fine.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So as soon as it went rolling, you cut yourself.
And I had a bunch of other fake cuts on my face for the movie, you know, like fake ones.
Yeah.
And then that one was real, but nobody could tell if it was real or not, you know, because I had all the other fake ones on. Some of the fake ones looked more real than that one.
That's awesome. Cool. And you all shot another political thing too. Great.
Yeah, like a satirical pundit, political pundit show. But yeah, it was cool. It was like in front of a green screen.
What's it called?
Pundits.
Pundits.
Exclamation point.
Nice.
But yeah. I was sitting next to a guy who they put this wig on to make it look like Al Sharpton, you know? And the thing smelled like a wet dog so bad that I could, like, barely stand it. And it's like that thing where someone next to you really smells, or something really smells hard, and you keep, like, kind of smelling yourself, just wanting to make sure it's not you. Like, there's no part of me that smells like a wet dog, is there? And I was just like, but I would keep leaning in to sniff this guy's head to make sure it was him, you know? I was like, cool, it's him. Like there's a monitor in front of us, and I like catch myself like leaning forward, smelling him, and then like nodding to myself,
like just to reassure you that horrible smell.
Because if it lasts like 15 minutes, then you think twice about it.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. So check out AnthonyGarino.com. Sure, links to all those projects will be there. I also want to plug a thing I did called Theater of the Deranged 2. It's a short film anthology. And I host it as Damien Shadows. There's a bunch of short films, and you know, I make gentle fun of the short films in the anthology and host the segment. So that'll be probably at the end of this year, you know, on Amazon. Also, speaking of Amazon, click through the Highway Diary link or on ericolibach.com and buy some from Amazon. And I get this Highway Diary gets a purchase, you know, a little piece of that purchase. Doesn't cost you anymore, but, you know, give some love to the podcast. Highway fucking Diaries, we're back. We just blew up Vegas. We just painted the town red. Excalibur fucked us all. We all lost a lot of money in Excalibur. But then the Hooters brought us back. How do we feel now, guys, after...
I am so happy for Hooters. The Hooters
casino was the diamond in the rough.
They saved the day. They got $3 blackjack, people. And if you lose $3, you bet $6. You lose $6, you bet $12. You lose $12, you bet $24. If you go in there, cash in, going, this is my fucking strategy. I am a wizard of flesh and bones. I can manifest winnings. You know how you do that? You don't get emotional. And you fucking stick to a strategy.
Yeah, you go in there with a job to do.
And you tip every time you win. It's just karma.
I don't know. I'm just saying, for me, winning roulette instantly.
Yeah.
It was about, I don't
want I was front side seat. I was blown away with your roulette playing there.
I don't know. You didn't look very excited.
I couldn't believe it. You have to bet five on the inside. You put one down on one, and then two on two others.
Yeah.
You hit one. $70 gets pushed your way.
The worst part is that, like, I was just watching for, like, a few minutes, so three before that. I got all the numbers the whole time before that. So
in your head, you're like, Nexus 32 red, and it was made so?
No, yeah, that happened before I did this one, so I'm like, I keep getting them right, so I should do this one. But for those three before, I probably would have had, like, $600 right now.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I think that I would be a great gambler. We should all get really rich and just gamble all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you have your basic cash. Then you, every time you lose, you double down. You double down.
Yeah.
You
want to go in there with money to spend. Like, it's, yeah, you take a hit. It's like no big deal. You double down on the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I last night, it may have looked like I lost $140, but I was actually engaged in an intricate performance art piece.
Called Waiting for Hooters.
At the cherry lane. That was all on my terms.
Anticipating Hooters.
Anticipating Hooters.
Volume 1.
The Woody Allen flick. The wings are delicious.
But like as you're walking through, like we just kind of walk through a bunch of casinos, you know, and they all have like subterranean connections in case the weather's too hot. And you're just walking through, like, malls and malls that are beautiful architecture with fucked up people walking, stumbling around, and puking around you. It's really surreal. It's like you're in a futuristic alien museum, like, shopping center with a bunch of the biggest idiots you've ever seen around you.
It's entirely true.
Yeah. Like, you see, like, it's cool to hear the overhead mumblings of, like, the medics and stuff, like,
yeah.
She's gone, no more money, no more money.
We also stayed at the Motel 8, a very fine establishment. There was a little controversy when we first got there. We read a Yelp review.
I chose to Yelp it as we pulled into the parking lot.
It's already too late.
Yeah. It was like a really, one of those Yelp reviews, it's like an intense, like, psychological expose. Narrative. It's like, on December 6th, 2012, I checked into the Motel 8. I saw traces of bed bugs. It's like old first-person narrative. It's pretty compelling. Yeah.
The DNA revealed semen. The blacklight revealed blood in the carpets. The window was broken. A shoe print was detected.
There was a hole in the window that was the shape of what looked like a large bed bug.
So then Talia goes through the mattresses. She was doing her inspection bed bug carcasses, feces.
Inspection in the seams of the mattresses and the bases of the headboards. And yep. You know what? I think we found something, but I think we're all okay.
Yeah, we kind of said, yeah, it's kind of, like, the mattresses are kind of dirty. That looks like what might be bed bug feces. Let's go party.
It could have been like a crumb, you know? Like,
yeah. I don't know, because that bed bug review was from a year ago. Exactly 1 year ago. Yeah.
So expired. And that's, so many things changed.
They've probably read that review.
Yeah.
People who own motels like that, you know, they're reading the reviews all the time.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the bed bugs read that review and changed their location. we can't be in the
they blew up our spot. We gotta leave.
Gotta go. Gotta move.
So any highlights of your trip? You definitely, Natalia, winning $70 at roulette, I'd say.
Yeah, my letdown was that I could have done more, you know, but yeah. I can't.
I think I had the most fun when we started playing $3 blackjack at Hooters.
Yeah.
We all started winning.
Yeah, I think
and it just felt great.
And we all got to sit at the table and play and, like, be consistent.
We were all together.
I would have stayed there for, like, several more hours, definitely.
Yeah.
Had we not have to drive home right now.
It's hard because when you first get there, you just keep walking through these beautiful casinos, and it kind of lulls you into a state of, like, I just want to see what the Bellagio looks. I want to see what the Venetian looks like. And they're all incredible. It's like you're walking by billions and billions and billions of dollars.
The Venetian was so pretty last night. It was gorgeous.
Is that the one with the canals inside?
That was with the painted sky and everything.
Yeah,
that was really nice.
Yeah, it's like 3 a.m. and then the sky is painted with clouds and it just, like, really like fucks up your sense of time.
Mm-hmm. Real pretty.
But now it's just... very desolate out here as we drive back to Los Angeles. Did we get any of the, the dealers' addresses at the hotels for correspondence? Yeah, just for correspondence. I just, you know.
I could tell by the way she looked where
it was
she
like,
lived.
There's going to be a future
where
right
she
now.
Lived. I could tell by her look.
No, just write her at the Hooters.
Yeah.
You know?
Dear Sandy, thank you so much for everything. I had such a pleasant time. Love, Matt. That's exactly how it's going to go.
Summer 2013, I saw traces and evidence of bed bugs on my blackjack table.
Yep. There was a shoe print. The window was broken. I started putting together a crime scene. And then, you know, the guy at the Motel 8, great guy.
Yeah, he was a really nice gentleman.
Saw him and individually came back to the room and had to say, that was a good guy.
That was amazing.
I was the only one who didn't meet him, and every single one of you came out, like, independently and was like, that guy's amazing.
Great. Yeah.
He's really good.
What the fuck are you doing there?
So he reads about bed bugs and he's fucking on it.
He's on it, dude.
That's what nice
that
guy would
do. That guy cares about his establishment.
That's what nice guy would do.
He's like, I'm going to overcome bed bugs with pure charm.
He's like, bed bugs, you know. We've had a good run and everything. And I love what you do here. You guys are great. Thing is, someone wrote a review. You gotta leave. Pack your shit.
The bed bugs are just like, he's such a nice guy.
He's so nice. Yeah.
They all individually.
Don't worry about it. We'll
take the time to tell each other. Great guy in there.
mean, there's plenty of beds in this town. I'll see you, man. It's been great. Bed bug on human hand handshake.
They take their suitcase.
Pleasant Yelp review later from the bed bug.
Take the sheets. Like, no, we can't. It's so fucked up. I don't want to steal from that guy. He's such a
nice guy.
It's a gift.
Tim, you pay it back. You build your karma.
Pay for it. This personification of bed bugs thing is a real adequate strategy for dealing with the stress of maybe being bitten by insects when you're sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, we probably have some what doctors were considered like parasitic evidence of thousands of bites. But you know what?
No.
After the Hooters place, I feel tickled pink. You know?
Bites be gone. Hooters solved everything.
Bites be gone, man.
Feel the thing.
Bites be no more. So there was two queen-size beds, and then kind of like
a hobbit
gift room.
Haunted hobbit bed in the corner.
That was next to the bathroom, you know.
In the dark.
It was like for like the medieval duke's son who was like born with a strange deformity. You see that court.
And there was like a little doggy door through the, between the gimp room and the bathroom. Like that's how the gimp bathes, you know. He can come and go. Maybe you're taking a shit, the gimp walks in. He's the gimp. He's deaf and blind. That's why he lives in the freak room.
And the bed was just kind of like a weird harness that was hanging, you know. The dust is swingy, so like he likes.
This is where he exercises.
With like glass bottles of curdled milk about.
Yeah. When he crawls through the trap door, the bathroom light turns into a strobe light.
The only way he can see.
Yeah.
The gimp has to have the strobe light. So his echolocation he developed in his freak genetics. Can pick up and detect objects around him.
I bet he'd be good at blackjack.
Yeah, he's quite a card counter, the gimp.
Yeah, like
that's why people like him around.
He plays the viola like a motherfucker and he like is a card counter.
But he's also like 60% psychic, you know?
He's like a card counter of a bit.
Because when you're a gimp, your other senses heighten, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My gator shoes, those are green. I called the hotel yesterday a bed bug and breakfast. For boobs. I called it that.
Everybody left.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Way to bring it back.
I had a good joke 2 hours ago. I want it on the record.
I called it that. Everyone left.
Everyone left.
We're high-fiving now. Everyone's enjoying themselves. We're all high-fiving. This is great.
Want to get some laughter while it's up?
Yeah. Hold on. I want to get it clean. Do it again.
Oh, no.
I want to get clean laughter sound. Everyone's high-fiving.
You can be in a clean. Let me get it clean.
Get it clean. Hold on. Let's re-record. All right, go. Can you fucking make it sound like you laughed the first time? That sounded like a bullshit fucking laugh.
You want different looks.
Get it clean.
You want like a, oh god, this one's gonna keep going. I like where this one's going. Oh. And then like the one like.
We were recording. We're gonna need to get it clean. Cut again. Go again. And take three. You're crying now. Everyone's high-fiving. We're having a good time.
Let me get it clean.
Get it clean, all right. And retake and go.
Oh.
What are you, that's an O-tape.
What now?
You turn into a big mouth bass? Come on, laugh track.
Give me some laugh.
Remember, because you told a good joke 2 hours ago, you wanted it reiterated. Everyone's high-fiving, everyone's having a good time. And laugh track. I was recording, let's take it again. And take one, action.
Okay.
Now you're back to the ooga noise.
My joke that everyone else should be laughing. Get Devin's laugh track wild sound ready.
Three, two, one. How's that 5-hour energy treat? Did it seem like you're crashing out a little bit?
Yeah, I'm pretty tired right now. We should get that clean though.
Yeah, let's get that clean.
We should probably get that clean. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Awesome. Time.
I wish you were here, guys.
Yeah.
I wish you were here with us.
High five.
We're back. We had a little rest stop. Got some jerky, got some coffee, a little water. You know. Yeah, there's like wind tornadoes.
It might just be like something driving through the desert sand, kicking it up.
Kicking up dust.
Yeah.
You guys just
We may or may not be storm watching right now.
So let's talk a little Amanda Bynes. Amanda Bynes is in the news. She's wearing a blonde wig. No one knows what's up with her. She can't contact her family. You can only contact her through Twitter, where she says weird things. She signed the rap deal.
I don't know if she signed it, actually. She was offered one. She was given, like, a Playboy radio gig, an offer for that, and she turned it down, she said, to focus on her rap career.
Okay.
So, Chinga Chang Records offered her a rap deal. I had no word on whether she signed or not.
Who's this Chinga Chang? Do you think she should sign? You like this guy, Chinga Chang Records?
No, I think Chinga Chang Records is a bunch of shit.
What?
Yeah. No, I don't know anything about the label and the artists on the label. I have no problem with that. But the owner, Dan McAnally.
You're calling Dan McAnally right out.
D-Mac is a swindler and a cheat. And he owes a lot of people a lot of money. And no one can argue with that.
How much money does he owe you?
He owes us $400.
You agree, Neil? Yeah, you guys produced a music video called Meal of the Day.
Yeah, we produced a pretty hard music video.
Yeah.
Skateboard dolly shots. Punch it in.
Yeah.
Punch out. You played a cop.
POV. POV, scope of view. Running dolly shots, skateboard dolly shots. At one point, there was actually a chick named Dolly who was like, Devin would sit on her back and she'd like crawl across the room. Called it a dolly shot. So many dolly shots. So much money went into the dolly shot. Every square foot of film is.
It took a long time to set too.
Moving back and forth. Everything was set up to a T.
Yeah, and how much you were promised $1,000 for the music video?
Yeah. But things just devolved. We started shooting a project for them on the side, and they decided that they wanted two music videos then. It was just a bad deal. The guy's a scammer. So, if anyone's looking out for Amanda Bynes right now, they should advise her against signing with Chinga Chang Records.
But also, it's like that, the Meal of the Day is such a hardcore rap that it's almost like you getting fucked out of $400. And also, there's a guy in bandana because he's covering his face because he's wanted. You know, like, you guys did such hardcore shit. It's like, of course you got scammed out of $400.
Yeah.
You're lucky they didn't
still
cut
make
all your
some
dicks
money off.
Off
of it, too, yeah.
For principle. There's a line where he shoots a chick who's 8 months pregnant for disrespect. So let's play a little of that Meal of the Day.
Nigga named Tommy, made block pop like tsunami. Try me, was his motto, blaze you like tamale. His rap, let him take every given step. He shot a chick in her 8th month for disrespect. Now Lonnie was his dog, far from Panani. Armani was the shit he did, man, Robbie. Now he feeling dope, he could rob an army. Tommy was like, yeah, whatever, Aki. I don't fuck around.
I'll play it on my phone. Can you play it on my phone?
No, I can edit it in.
Oh, no, I'll play it on my phone.
It'll sound really good.
Hold on.
That'll just sound great.
I don't get Wi-Fi.
That'll just sound great.
Hold on. Do you know a Wi-Fi password? It's so much easier if I just plug it from my phone.
Devin, can you change your phone to a mobile hotspot?
Oh, dear. Provisions are running low. We're out of jerky.
Stop for us later.
All right. Let me take a head try to change this fucking mountain.
Artist in question was a guy named Temp.
Temp, yeah. Song was Meal of the Day. Of course, I believe it was It's the Meal of the Day for real. Once you get that steal of the day in your grill, which is a reference to robbing someone to get money, you know, to get that first meal of the day is the first person you rob, I guess. Yeah, we shot the music video. Some good locations. We were all around Flatbush with a bunch of camera equipment protected posse of rappers.
Queensbridge.
Yeah. Because the other rapper on the track was from the Queensbridge Projects. Like,
And we would, at the meal of the day, we were trying to get back, we're trying to get to the ethereal essence of what it means to be hungry. Yeah. So we thought that it would be fun to start with a super close-up, like, pan of, like, punch in on some rice being cooked as the gentleman pours ketchup over it. The hand is unseen because the hand represents that kind of ethereal hunger that can't be placed in the realm of any particular appetite other than one's desire to be a part of a community-ish, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but they didn't see it that way. They wanted us to shoot the story, like a shot list that the rapper came up with, which was pretty nonsensical for a music video. It was about like two people robbing someone, then double-crossing each other, then the police get involved.
Interior projects apartment.
Yeah.
Day. A gentleman crawls in through the window, takes money out of a cabinet. Exterior. Day. Continuous. A woman walks up to her home, confused, distraught. Jump cut to money, interior, continuous, day. Jump cut, exterior, continuous, day. Woman, door, jump cut, close up, punch in, handle, turned, lock, unlocked. Jump cut, gentleman's face, eyes, beady. Jump cut, pupil.
Jump cut, cat in a lounge chair.
It was a very kinetic music video.
And you're on Dolly, right? You pull way the fuck out. You see Queensbridge. You see fucking the greater Manhattan area. You're pulling out. You see New York State, right?
Yeah. And then you're seeing just like the raw flavor that Temp is putting out there. You know what I mean? It's just like it's almost like indescribable what is actually coming out of the scream, because the only way you could say is just like pure Temp vibe.
The thing was with him, he wanted the B-roll to be solely like super close-up shots of the side of his dick, right where it connected with his groin. So he wanted us to have that.
Base camp.
That's the base camp. Like, every time, like, it goes into a chorus, that's where the action is happening. Like, right at the base of his dick, you know, you see the top of his scrotum starting to, like, you know, the chicken gobbler, or, you know, the turkey gobbler neck out, you know?
Well, he just wanted it to be so close that you couldn't really discern what it was, and put in the film every 16 frames, so it was just kind of almost invisible, you know?
Yeah.
And
but it just laid down his vibe. It laid down his flavor.
And it was for his GF, so, like, I appreciate that, you know? But, like, at the time, his GF was a total, like, BH, you know? So, like, we were both, like, we were, like, quasi-WTF, but, like, on further inspection, like, retrospectively, I'm like, it doesn't really match that much, but, like, the tang is, like, don't, you know,
you've only been in California for like 48 hours and you're like totally picking up all the like the California lingo, like the laid back kind of acronyms instead of actually talking.
I mean, I'm like I'm hella chiseled out right now. So like I don't really want to spend a lot of time like full sales, you know?
Yeah.
Like full sales is kind of a way of tie, you know?
Yeah.
Like
no, it's like it's a different vibe out here, you know.
This time I could spend on the BI, you know.
Yeah.
In the wah.
You're saving a lot of time. It's about raw efficiency with the you know the flavor you have the greener vibe.
The flavor I think is well, you know, that was an issue that we talked a lot about with Dan. We're like, how do you understand narratively, conceptually, structurally what you want filmed? But what's the flavor that you really want to taste when you watch this? And that, because that question was never answered, like, for real.
He promised you $1,000. How
much did
you
ask? Gave us $400, said he was going to give us the other half when we did the second video that we only agreed to do for him as a favor, since it was, like, a cheap thing. He wanted to shoot the whole gang doing a separate song. Because this guy had a gang. Like, one of the guys in the gang had to wear a bandana, a red, like, bandana over his face the whole time because he was wanted. And so he didn't want to show his face in the music video because they might know where he is, I guess. It was shot in front of his projects.
The bottom line was that, you know, love is unconditional, but music videos are highly condish, you know?
Highly.
So if people want to check that out, is it on YouTube right now?
You know, we gave him the digital rights to it. We never gave him a hard copy because we were kind of pissed about the $400. But then he released it on his website as the official music video.
Soon thereafter, replaced it because he wanted speedy effects.
Yeah, because they wanted a lot of camera effects. Like, speedy effect was the effect they kept requesting. We're not really sure what speedy effect is. We think it's like when you speed up.
It's when regular motion is meant to look faster.
Faster, make it look cool. But it was a train wreck because we had just shot something before. And the camera we used was borrowed and it was stolen from a fundraising party we had. Some dirtbag stole it from us. So all the money we made off of this shoot went to replace this other girl's camera. And that kind of strained our relationship with her. And It's a shame, you know? It's a real shame.
The bottom line is that what we... I wouldn't take back what we did. Do I regret it? Yes. Was that a mistake? Yes. Did I grow from it? No. Would I do it again the same exact way with knowing the consequences? No. But is it something that...
Would you do it again not knowing the consequences?
No.
If you were in the same situation again?
No, 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 no. And is it something where I can look back on and say, well, I learned something... No.
What if you were in an analogous situation and you did know the consequences? Would you do that again?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. The bottom line is we're not... It's not like the music video... The indie music video business is not a game of horseshoe and crab donuts. It's sit down and roll, you know?
Get going.
Yeah.
It's more of a... Let's shoot this thing.
Yeah. The indie music video business, I'd say it's akin to taking a canoe down a desert road. Why are you, but why not? And at the same time, maybe.
It's very ethereal.
That's astute.
Hey, don't you want to start a business, Carino? An acting workshop?
Yeah, I'm already in the works of teaching a 6-week intensive of how to come back to life on stage and screen. It's $1,000 for 2 weeks, and you learn the basics. So imagine that you've shot me in the face. Go ahead, shoot me in the face right
Boom!
Now.
Boom!
Ah!
Oh, you're definitely dead in the scene.
Oh!
You're back to life. Oh my god!
It's as easy as
that. That was like a doctorate level performance. It's like you were in a conservatory for that level of like, oh, I'm alive again.
I've died a lot on stage and screen, which makes me believe that in past lives, I've died a lot.
Yeah.
While people watched.
And as they watch you die, they scream, chaos, chaos, and you're, shh, shh. You know, like, they want it to be like a quiet. You're a restless spirit. But every time you're a ghost, every time you haunt something, all your previous ghosts are in linens and they look really bloated, you know?
Yeah, it's like not a good look. Like, I would love one to be like kind of like a... Wear like something like classy, like maybe an evening gown. Because it's not weird because I'm a ghost. So it's not really like, oh, why are you wearing? Because I'm an ethereal spirit, you know? So in that context, yes. But maybe, definitely.
You know, like, I just got booked for a role, Greeno, and I'm going to, it's like a plot twist where you think my character dies, but then I wake up from a dream. You know, you have any tips for me?
Yeah, I mean, I would say something kind of classic, like the old move I like to call effervescent waking dead, which goes a little something like this. Wake up from the dead, come back to life.
Okay.
Very subtle on the... Oh, wake up. Oh, because you're not trying to... you're not trying to, you know, prove anything by waking up. When you wake
from
up...
From a dead dream.
Devin, let me... When you wake up, are you trying to prove anything other than that you're conscious?
Depends where I wake up, but most of the time, no.
Smart answer, and that was a test. You don't. And maybe you... Definitely. But
sometimes.
Never... But never forever, unless it's for sure.
Always.
But... This isn't a game of constants or variables. It's a
it's
game.
It's not a game of mishaps or maybes.
It's also not a game of definites or for suresies.
No.
Wait. All right, you definitely seem like you're dead. Everyone in the audience thinks you're dead.
4, 5.
Well, that was a more of an advanced maneuver. How do you discern when the cough is appropriate?
That's like, oh, how do you build a nuclear power plant? It takes years of concentration, dedication, and learning. Watching the dead, watching people come back from the dead, watching people die, watching people being born. I'm in a hospital 8 or 10 hours a year, watching, learning, studying.
Spend a lot of time in the graveyard.
I hit a lot of wakes. I hit a lot of bar mitzvahs. I do christenings.
Yeah, you just want to see the life cycle.
Just a lot of nothing around here now.
I wonder if you could camp out here. You know?
Yeah.
The snakes and the cacti, little beans, little whiskey. I wonder if there's panning for gold around here. I bet there is. Somewhere.
Yeah, you think any gold is left in the gold rush?
You think what?
You know, there's a gold rush. Everyone thought that there was gold in California, and that's why everyone rushed to the West.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that. I don't listen to things like that, just like roulette.
What did you learn in your Canadian schools?
We did learn the Canadian anthem in English and French. I don't remember it.
All right, so nothing?
We had to learn curling. Yeah, that's right. That's nothing. I don't care. I know enough about our anthem.
I'm saying if you learned one thing and then forgot it, okay?
I did. I can't tell you it right now. I won't be able to, but I can Google it. We curled a lot. We would have to. We were forced
what
to
curling. What are... Can you please nice, explain yeah. the rules of curling? Is it shuffleboard?
No, it's not.
What is it?
Curling!
How do you play curling?
You have this nice, fancy, like, humongous hockey puck with a handle on it, and you stand at one side of this, like, these ice, like, bowling lanes, basically. It's like hockey puck. But, yeah. like, you, but it's also, like, darts. Because you throw the rock down the ice, and you're really hoping to get it in the dart bullseye. But you have to, you have a broom too, so you have to run, you have to throw the rock. Then you like, you run after the rock, you like swiffer the rock all the way down
yeah.
in hopes of like getting like good numbers. So in a way, it's also sort of like gambling.
Can you also turn the rock by brushing to the left side or the right side?
Yeah, you can do that. You can alter the
so
way you're
just, you can curl it.
So you're aiming to try to knock the other people out of the center?
You want
to
get them out, you want to be in the bullseye, you want high money.
How many do you throw?
One.
Okay.
I don't
know, I don't remember.
So your team throws one, then the other team throws one,
yeah,
and then that's
one.
It?
Yeah, you have one.
Fuck.
But it's an Olympic sport, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, it like, is. It's not like competitive, right?
It is very competitive, and it's really cold, and unfortunately... They never advised us into what kind of footwear to wear, so I would be in my Converse all the time, and my feet would be aching, and I'd be cursing the country that I lived in.
Are there,
so
like, rental shoes for curling?
No. And it was across the street from our school, and it was like, you have to go. If you didn't go curling, you'd fail.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I got pulled over once for tailgating a cop on purpose.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
You were just trying to
yeah,
stick
I was
it to
pulling
the
off the road with my friends, and we were going somewhere else. And we were pulling through this industrial park in, like, South Jersey, and the cop station was, like, up ahead a while. And we pull off this highway, Route 38, where it's, like, you know, 55 miles an hour. And we pull off, and this cop is going, like, maybe 15 miles an hour in a 35 right off the highway. So I come off, and I have to, like, really hit on my brakes, and the people start coming in behind me. And everyone's like, what the hell? Like, why is everyone going so slow? People are riding up on me. So I was like, fuck it. Like, this cop's just being a dick. I'm gonna tailgate his ass. So I just rode the hell out of him. Tailgated. He pulled over, let me pass, immediately pulled behind me, pulled me over. Started giving me shit. He's like, what are you doing? You're tailgating me? I'm like, hey man, I was getting a lot of pressure from the back. I had to do something. And he's like, well, you're still tailgating a cop. I'm gonna write you a ticket for tailgating. And he went back to his car, and then he came back and his radio was blowing up. And he goes, you're lucky. You get off easy this time. I got a bigger call. And he gets back in his car, turned his sirens on, just sped away.
Wait, they don't call that tailgating.
Or not tailgating.
That is tailgating.
Like,
but then you're talking a tailgate party.
You're thinking, like sausages on a grill, like on your front on your carburetor.
That's way too seductive for cops, I think, right?
Yeah.
Pull over.
But he was like doing it. He was trying to force my hands. See what I was going to do. I wasn't going to get pushed around.
So he was shoving his car up your ass, and then when you he didn't like it when you gave it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it like a champ.
Yeah, seriously.
Take it like a birthday girl, cop.
Cops have nothing to do with South Jersey. Well, most of South Jersey.
Chicken shit tickets.
Chicken sand.
Chicken shit.
Da 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 da. Yo, in my car there are no laws. Da 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 da.
If you bring your kitten, you better wipe her paws.
Da 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 da.
Favorite film involving sharks, surprisingly not Jaws.
I worship Satan except for a couple flaws.
Driving through the mountains and leaving the sin.
If you have trash, please recycle in an appropriate bin.
At the Bellagio, you can bathe in gin.
when you go to the slots, you better take the twins.
Shake it, Timmy's house is shakes. Shake it up.
You changed the words you were gonna say, I got mixed up.
If you bring your dog in the car, you better wipe the paws of that pup.
Do you have an experience recently where somebody like brought a dog with dirty, messed up dirty animal with bad feet?
Crazy amounts of animals leaving messes everywhere.
You have an iguana, make him clean his claws. You have a dog, you better hose him down.
Especially his feet. How did that go?
You got a hand, so you better keep him in a protected case.
I gotta lose the dog's tracks. His claws are muddy.
We've been through a lot, though. He's still my buddy.
Better clean his paws.
They're all muddy.
Yo, you better clean his paws. It's gonna be the chorus around.
Okay.
Yo, you better clean his paws.
Please, pause.
Wicka.
Press pause, then finish.
Got no rhymes, but we're making good time.
You better clean his balls.
If you wanna.
I don't want no crawl pants on my seat. But you better clean his paws. Clean his paws.
I don't want no puppets on my seat. You be feeding that dog way too much meat.
You better clean his paws. You better wash the paws off.
I'm talking take a napkin to that dog's ass feet.
I don't care if you use the ShamWow. If he goes bow wow wow, he's got dirty feet. He's got dirty feet up in my seat.
And even though it's well documented, dogs like to eat. Better clean his paws.
Clean up the crime, clean up the rhyme. He's got to clean his paws all the time. There's paws on the carpet, a broken window, some cockroaches amongst the mattress. Gotta clean his paws. Motel late, he's a nice guy. Gotta clean his paws.
Went to Motel late to get my wrist sprayed. Better clean his paws.
Go to Motel 8, get him neutered and spayed.
Go to the casino, I'm rolling large. Better clean his paws.
Got a wet nap here, got a wet nap there. Got a freaking wet nap everywhere. Gotta clean his paws, you son of a bitch. You gotta clean your paws right now.
Okay, guys, let's... Too much of that, okay? New rhyme. Let's clean the palate. All right, ready?
Yeah.
I took my dog to the pound.
Better clean his paws. Paws are dirty, gotta clean his paws.
Yo, it don't matter how you lather. You gotta clean his paws. Yo, if the glove don't fit, do a quip, but you gotta clean the paws.
Let's just do one.
Yo, where are your in-laws? You got any rhymes?
I'm breaking the rhyme like you're breaking the laws.
Everyone's high-fiving. We're having a great time. Let's take that again. From the part with the pause.
Okay, it's gonna clean us up.
Yeah, let's get good. Okay, new rhyme. We don't need to keep on like digging that well of magic. You know, it's always there for us later. Got the cleanest paws. But the goal of that is every time, if you're sitting in a bar, someone new comes in, you just yell, Skank Patrol!
Because you know that that was an insult, and there's going to be repercussions. Then you scream, I'm going to fight your boyfriend. to the point of nausea. It only works if you keep doing it until you feel ill.
And then people like always get up in your face, but then like you reveal that you're a really soulful person. It's like, I mean, I was in the Peace Corps for 6 years, and I realized that the objectives were hit. Skank Patrol! I'll fight your boyfriend. And there's like two girls next to him, like an hour later, he's like, and it's when like the last time I was in Bangladesh, I knew I'd never be back, and that was heartbreaking. Connections with young people who I knew probably wouldn't. Skank Patrol!
I'll fight your boyfriend. Yeah. Then you just started like brainwashing yourself. If you do that enough times, just like a magical rite of Skank Patrol, it's like you get into like almost a meditative state of jealousy and of love triangles, of violence, of bar fights. You know, you get in the scene.
You're spending time on the ground like Biggie Smalls. Gotta clean those balls. Gotta clean those balls.
Thanks all for being on the podcast. This has been another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diaries with Eric Hollerbach,
Devin Murphy,
Ty Berlin.
Click through the Amazon link. I got a show at Flappers the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd. It's a contest. I'm 2-0. Make it 3-0, baby. I want to sweep those fucking Yoo-hoo Room contests. Thanks for listening. See you later.